Red above the silver, I'm ready to stop.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Speaking, the host on Finding on ET First Contact Radio. I have a very special guest tonight. His name is Richard Hoofs, and Richard has a practice. He's more interesting for the show, a renowned international speaker into the UFO field, and I think he has also written a couple of books. So I welcome to the show Richard Hoofs. Welcome, Richard. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I hear you now loud and clear, Martin.
Okay, wonderful. I want to welcome you to the show, Richard. It's amazing to have you on the show. And you have been in the UFO field for quite some time, as I believe, as we are some years already friends on Facebook. And often you have very interesting posts also about what's happening. So How did it start in your life? Did you know, for example, already when you was a child, that there's more between heaven and earth? And how did it came about in your life, your interest into the paranormal and UFO field?
I was not interested at all in the UFO field, and I was not interested in aliens at all. My work is in the medical field. I'm a family doctor, and I was working for a couple of years in this field, and I wanted to improve my practice and improve my skills. So I was interested in the Eastern medicine, and I started to study acupuncture and energetic medicine. And I started to do meditation, and this is really a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago. And from one point, I went to another point. So I went also to India to train it more, and I worked also there. And I improved and started to do more and more meditation. And during one of these meditations, I got in contact with. I ended up in a kind of a temple in Egypt, and I got in contact with extraterrestrial beings in the meditation, and this happened spontaneously to me. And from this point on, I was more and more interested in the UFO field.
Right, right. And how many years ago did you have that experience during your meditation?
This was maybe 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. I had this experience in my meditation. And after this, I was surprised what happened. I was not sure if it was an extraterrestrial or whatever it was, but I started to study more about it and to read more about it, and visited people and centers and organizations who were involved with extraterrestrial beings, and I learned more and more about it from this moment. That's how it happened. And later on, I realized that in this meditation, this contact was serious. It was a real contact which was there.
Yes. Can I ask you, Richard, have you also seen that more and more people are waking up the last 5, 6, 7, or maybe 10, 20 years? There were not so many, but right now there are so many people waking up and coming to the reality that there is more.
Of course. There are a lot more people who are open, who have an open mind in life which is not originally from Earth, from life in space. You can talk more freely about it now. Still, I think that a lot of people also don't know about it. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. That's also true.
Yes.
It's more open, but it's not for sure a common sense in Holland. Not with my patients in my family practice, and not among all my friends. No.
Yeah, I see that in my family and friend circle too. But on the online community on Facebook and you know, organizations like Niburu, there's more openness about it.
Yeah, but the people who go there, they are already involved with it, and they are really they're really going for it. And they're only interested in this. If you are outside these organizations, it's more like the people on the street. And for example, my mother, she read all my books, and I wrote some books about the integration of energetic medicine and Western materialistic medicine. And she was very interested in this book. She liked it, and she's not so much involved in energetic medicine or in spiritual medicine. But she liked the book, and later on I wrote a book about spiritual events which were happening with my patients. For example, patients who had the contacts with the some deceased people, people who are not alive anymore, but who live in another dimension, and talk about it in my practice, or people who have problems with their children, and children are, let's say, children who new age children from a new time, and she also liked this book, but my newest book, which is about life which is not from Earth, from outer Earth, she liked a little bit, but she also, it was for her, it was more difficult than the other books. So this is for me a mark that not really, it's not common sense, but people are more and more getting open to it. At least we could talk about it, but that's true.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. Richard, what do you expect from the 12-12-12 portal opening and the opening on the 21st of December? What are your expectations? What are your ideas?
Well, 12-12-12 and 21-12-12 will be markers, actually. Will be very for me, they are very special markers for a new period, new cycles, which is taking place, and which mm-hmm. will start actually on 22-12-12, which is also an important day, maybe the most important day, 22-12-12, not only because a new cycle will start, but also it's the birthday of my wife, so we will have a party anyway on this day. And
wonderful.
And it's the start of a new period in my feeling. And what will happen? Actually, I don't know what will happen exact at that moment. In my the way I feel it now, the cosmic energy is very high now, very strong. Very strong cosmic energy is coming to us, and in my practice as a GP, as a family doctor. So I have two practices. I have one practice as a holistic doctor, as a spiritual doctor, and the other one is as a family doctor. And the family doctor, everybody comes there in the spiritual practice. Just people who are really interested in spiritual therapy come there. But in this practice as a family doctor, I worked this week and I saw really a lot of people with dizziness, maybe 10 people a day. When I see 30 people in that practice, I saw 10 people a day with dizziness. A lot of people very, very dizzy, very much complained about dizziness. And if you examine these people very carefully and then you check it out and then you you really search for the cause, then with almost all these people, there was not a specific cause. It was dizziness mm-hmm. by, you know, in my opinion, by the cosmic energy. They were all very insecure. So, for sure, there's something going on now in the energy. There's something stronger. Something is happening. And it can be possible that that there will be a polar shift at 21-22 or 12-12, that this really will happen. That the North Pole will become South Pole and the South Pole will become North Pole. This is possible for me, and if it will not happen on this day, it can be that it will happen later on in the same in the year 2030.
Right. Yes. And that's very interesting what you're saying, because I also felt dizzy the last few days, and I thought by myself, yes, they are ascension symptoms.
Yeah.
But yes.
In my opinion, it's true that the cosmic energy is very strong, and because it's coming so strong in us, we have to adapt. We have to adapt at this high energy, and it can make us dizzy. It's the same like when something enormous happens, when you cannot believe it's happening, or you become, it's too much, then you can become dizzy just by all the emotions and all the insecurity which is taking place in your life. And to my opinion, this is happening also now with this big cosmic energy which is coming to us. And it seems like it's fluctuating, but it's also increasing a little bit. And it never happened in my practice that I saw so many people with these problems at a couple of days behind each other.
Right. And with these high energies from the cosmos coming in onto the Earth and into us, do you think it's likely that there will be disclosure of the ET presence very soon, at the end of this year or maybe in the beginning of next year?
I hope so. I hope for sure. And for sure it's possible. For sure it's possible, mm-hmm. because it feels to me that the extraterrestrials are interested in places in Earth where the energy is suitable for them. In a way, it's comforting them. So you have places where there are more crop circles, or there are more more things happening with extraterrestrials. For example, in Holland, in this area where I live, in the north of Holland, near Schorl, a lot of UFOs are spotted near Wieringen. And there, the energy is. This is a very old place. The energy is high there. It's on the ley line. The energy is high there, so there are more UFOs seen there. And it may be it's so that when the cosmic energy is rising and rising, it's more comfortable for them to show up. And I hope so that we are nearly there. That there will be a massive disclosure. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. For me, disclosure will be a marker of a new era, of a new beginning, mm-hmm. from how we experience reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with this radio show, ET First Contact Radio, I try to inform the public, not only by my own story, but most of all and most important, the story from the people that I interview, what they have to tell. Richard, what can you tell us from your insights that you think are important to share with the listeners about ETs and UFOs and energies and all related to it, to that?
First of all, the things which are happening are natural. They are. They're not strange. They're not they are. Of course, they are strange. They are. We are not used to it, but we will get used to it. And actually, they are. It's a natural thing which is happening. It's like you are opening up to a bigger surrounding. Like ages ago, when we found out that the world was not flat, but it was. It's a circle.
It's round. The globe.
Yeah. So this is the way we are evolving now, that we are not alone in this incredible huge universe, but that we are also with other brothers and sisters which are there, and that this is for us. This is a positive. A positive thing which is happening,
yes.
And it can help us to open up our conscious to a higher level, to become more aware about ourselves. The extraterrestrials can help us to become more conscious about ourselves, to become more ourselves. That is my experience with extraterrestrials, that they help you to become more human. This is a strange thing. So they are not human like we are human in that way, but they help us to become completely human, to become completely ourselves, to become completely unique, to become our original self.
Yes,
and
it's a
how do they do
potential.
That? They do that because they open our hearts in a way that we become more in contact with our surrounding, with the nature, with the cosmos, and with other people.
Yes, that's a very nice analogy that you make about Christopher Columbus telling the world that he believed that the world is round or a globe, a sphere. But in this time, the church was controlling science and knowledge from the people. But, you know, what happened is that right now, the media... Yes?
Yeah, it's a bit the same now. If I if I talk about my own field, so the field of science and the field of medicine, the field of the healthcare. In this field, there is a lot of control from people and from organizations, which earn a lot of money from this field, and which also earn a lot of esteem. The whole ego is built on the valuation by the people, and they control this field. It's not that it's right; it's just the way that they control it. If you see, if you the materialistic medicine is controlling it. And if you go outside this field, for example, if you open yourself up for energetic medicine, then immediately they try to isolate you and you're not longer a part of the family of the medical field. And actually, this is in contrary of and against science, because science is based on that you examine everything also, which is outside the especially outside the normal tracks, and this is the same with extraterrestrials, which is it would be scientific to examine if they are there and really take it very seriously, because the chance is also very big that they are, of course they are there. But if you are talking about that, they people from the side, they don't like it. They try to isolate you. But actually, it's against the original standard for science. Mm-hmm. So some people, some organizations are trying to block this this broader view which we are evolving. They try to block it because otherwise they lose control. At least that is my opinion, which is taking place in the scientific field and in the medical field. And with the, mm-hmm. the new age, the time of the new age, it's necessary and also will happen that these controlling powers will lose their power and will also disappear, so that we can be more open for what life is really about.
Yes, indeed. And it's very interesting what you say, because I truly believe that there are matters and there are concerns for the corporate media and the corporate science, that they don't want this knowledge to come out, because then we could cure cancer, we could have free energy, we could have contact with, already had contact with all those civilizations from the stars. But somehow I have the feeling that with the 21st of December, this whole power structure is breaking down, and the people that are honest and are of the light will take over.
I hope so, but I guess it will be a starting point. That's what it can be, that also the polar shift will be there. And of course, if the polar shift will be there, I did some research about that, about the polar shift. And also in science, there are a lot of signals that the electromagnetic field of the Earth is really declining. It's a lot low than, for example, 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago. And it's declining, and the theory of some of the scientists the electromagnetic field of the Earth is that when the electromagnetic field is declining, this is showing that there will be a shift of the poles later on. And some people also published about it also in the scientific scientific magazines, like the magazine Science, Hoffman and Singer, two American scientists did this, and they expect that the polar shift will happen very soon, maybe in a couple of years, maybe in 1,000 years, and they cannot say exactly when it will happen, but in my opinion, when this will happen, and I believe that it will be happening soon, this is also evolving our conscience, because our conscience is not our thoughts are not our brains. Our brains are just collecting our thoughts from the cosmos, and they're doing this with our aura. And our aura is based on electromagnetic field, actually, which is around us. So if the total electromagnetic field is changing or is really totally zero, our own electromagnetic field will be very much evolved with this, will be influenced by this, and it will also influence our consciousness. So when our consciousness is changed, the really change, in my opinion, that when our consciousness is changed, we can become more open again for what life is really about. And it's not about only about power or about materialistic things. There's much more in life, and if our conscience will raise, then also we will feel more. We can feel again more with our heart. We can be more connected with each other, and also become more connected with the other beings which are in space, which are there always, but we were not open for them to connect with them.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very interesting scenario that you put here into words. And
I don't know, Martin, if I'm clear, because I have to say everything in English. So if something is not clear, just ask me and I try to explain it more clearly. But
yes.
I do my best.
Well, I want to ask you about this pole shift, and then we'll go to a musical break. The pole shift, it means that the magnetic poles are reversing. And as you said, our auras are also electromagnetic. So what did you exactly mean by the change of our auras? Can you clarify that a bit?
Well, our aura is influenced by the cosmos. It's influenced also by the electromagnetic field of the Earth. And the electromagnetic field of the Earth, you can say that it's also all the memories of the Earth are in the electromagnetic field of the Earth. It is by, in some way, you can see it as the aura of the Earth. And all our memories are in our aura. All our traumas and our other lives are in our aura. So if you are really cleaning your aura, if your aura is bright, then you're open in your heart. Can become more open and you can be more in contact. It's because your aura is clean. If your aura is very dark, for example, like a cloud, like a dark cloud, then you are more in a depression. But with the polar shift, the complete electromagnetic field of the Earth will clear, because first it will become totally zero and then will become a new electromagnetic field on the Earth. So in the energetic way, you can see it as that the Earth will be reborn again. And when the Earth will be reborn again, also we will become reborn again, because our aura is in straight direct connection with the aura of the Earth. So if the aura of the Earth will be completely reborn, it has a very strong effect on our own aura. And we will help us to become more clear in our own aura. This is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I understand. So this is, in fact, a part of the ascension process, right?
Yes. For me,
the ascension process makes it possible to come into contact with those enlightened beings from space.
Yes. They help us to become more enlightened ourselves. So this way they help us to become more human ourselves. And this is easier if our aura is more open. So if you already have set some steps, then it's more easy to connect yourself whatever it is with another human being, but also with the extraterrestrial or with a nature or with an animal. And when you feel it like this, it's natural not to harm somebody else or to harm nature or to harm another animal, because it feels like you're harming yourself. It's because you have more connection, more feeling with it.
Yes. Richard, are you familiar with the information from Sheldon Island and others that we had to fall into duality after Atlantis and Lemuria, and that now this duality experiment is over and we are coming back into unity?
Yes. I read Sheldon Island and I saw some films from him on YouTube, and he's from Unity Net, isn't it? Unity Net is from Sheldon Island. I believe he's also very much involved with the...
Yeah, UnityNet is translating it for the Dutch readers, indeed.
Sorry?
But I said UnityNet, the guy, forgot his name, he's translating it for the Dutch readers. The message is from Sheldon Idle.
Okay. Yes,
For the international listeners, maybe it's interesting to mention... On the galacticchannelings.com, you can find a lot of very truthful information from Mike Winch, Sheldon Idle, and others, translated into Hebrew, Arabic, English, German, Dutch, French, you name it.
Great.
Richard, I want to go to a musical break. If you're ready, Donald, on BBS, behind the panels. And then after that, we'll talk about Egypt, okay?
That's okay. That's very good.
Yes, Take Off. Take Off from Peter Maisner, wonderful synthesizer, magnificent New Age musician. And Take Off is made in 1992, and it's taking us to the higher dimensions and spheres. And we'll be back after the break. Welcome back to ET First Contact Radio, transmitted live from DBS Radio. My guest is, as you know, Richard Hoves, a renowned international UFO researcher. He wrote a few books, and he is also a physician, a family doctor. And Richard, welcome back.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Martin. Nice to be back again, and thank you for the nice music.
Yes, I don't know if you're familiar with this artist. His name is Peter Mergener, a German synthesizer magician from the band Software. There were some meditation CDs in the 80s called Chip Meditation.
I believe I heard something about him before, but you reminded me again to him, so it's very nice, yeah.
Yes. It's very specific music, but also very specific for my radio program, because it's about ET First Contact.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I have the feeling that when I first heard Jean-Michel Jarre and other great musicians like Vangelis, they remind me of space travel or of higher conscious. And it really makes me feel well when I want to rest or when I am in my own time. I listen synthesized to music from this era.
Yeah, it's true for me. It's the same. It's the same. If you are listening to this music, somehow it relaxes you and it makes your mind go at ease, and you can feel feels more open to. Well, to cosmic energy in some way. It relaxes
you and
brings you in this kind of special state, yes, openness, yes.
Yes, it's wonderful. And I don't need to take any drugs. I just listen to this kind of music and I come open.
That's true.
Yes. So, Richard, you have been in Egypt and you have had some very special experiences there. I don't remember which pyramid, but you have spoken to me about it on the phone last week. So maybe if you want, you can share something with the listeners about this sacred experience that you had.
Yes, of course, I want to share it. Well, you asked me if I was interested in UFOs or extraterrestrials, and I answered that I 10 years ago, I was not interested. It was interesting, but I was not really. It was not close to me. And my first meditation. In meditation, I had some experiences with extraterrestrials, and it was in a kind of a temple. And it were blue shining humanoid extraterrestrials, and it was somewhere under the ground. So in this meditation, Egypt came to me. It looked like a temple or something like that. And this happened maybe for months afterwards. All the time when I went in meditation, I went into some kind of a temple, and I went downstairs, and very strange, and I had contact with these humanoid extraterrestrials, which announced themselves to myself. They came from Sirius, and they explained me about their way of living, that they were... they had a lot of paranormal gifts, and they were communicating without words, straight from images, and so we were communicating like this. And after this, I saw a lot of UFOs in the sky above my house, and in other places I saw the lights there, and had some experiences with lights also with my children. They also saw the lights. And later on, I visited Egypt. I already visited a couple of times, but later on we visited Egypt because we were on a tour, actually to Amarna, to the place where Akhenaten lived. And we started in Abydos. And Abydos is in the south of Egypt, and it's the place where Osiris, it's the holy place for Osiris. Osiris is the god of the afterworld. He is the very important god in Egypt, and this Abydos place is already a holy place since the early dynasty, pre-early dynasty. And when we were there and we visited this temple, it was very familiar to me. And I walked right behind the temple to another temple, which is the holy complex. And I recognized this complex from my meditation. This complex is called the Osirion. Are you still there, Martin?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening with deep interest.
Okay.
So continue.
Yeah. This place is called the Osirion, and I recognized it from my meditation. This was the same place I was in there in this meditation, and I was straight actually downstairs and saw the Flower of Life, which is lasered on the stones there. A couple of Flowers of Life, which were very clear Flower of Life, and it's strange because it's not a hieroglyph, it's not also painted, it's with a laser. And I went into this place, which is not, which is going in the ground. It's a very strange temple, because it's not built above the ground, but in the ground, you can see only the upper part of it. And the most of it it's under the water. So you walk in and then you are with your feet and your legs in the water till your knees, and you walk actually on the top of the temple. And I walked into another place of this temple, which is called the dark room, and we meditated there. And I knew that if you go more to the left and you go downstairs, then you are, and again to the left, then you are in a place where, in my meditations, I had this contact with extraterrestrials, but it is not possible to go there because there's all water there. And I meditate we stayed there for a week, and afterwards I came back with another trip, and I came back with another trip, and started to study ancient Egyptian medicine there. And these people explained to me that this was also a place where there have been extraterrestrial meetings in the past, extraterrestrial encounters in the past. And they are written by Thutmose III. He's one of the first pharaohs who wrote it in his text that he had the contacts with people from Sirius, extraterrestrial people. It's just really there in the text of Thutmose III. And also in the temple, which is before the of Osirion, there are in the hieroglyph there are paintings of UFOs, a couple of them, and helicopters. They are there, and you can see it really very clear. They describe these encounters of extraterrestrials, which have been taking place there. For sure in the age of 1500 or 1400 before Christ, that's happened there. And I also found out that in this place, this Osirion, they've done a lot of research to find out what it was. It was also an American research project which tried to pump out all the water which is in this place, and this failed completely because when they pumped out the water, straight a lot of water came back in. So there is a connection, there must be a connection from this temple, which is under the ground, with other water which is outside this. So it must be the Nile, or must be a place which is under the ground. And they found out with the infrared that there is a big lake under the ground, and there is a kind of a channel from this temple to this lake. And they also found out with infrared that there is another big temple which is on the right place under the ground, besides what you see. And this is the place I'm talking about, which was in my meditation a lot of times, and there were these encounters with extraterrestrials for me with these perform or these humanoid beings from Sirius. Mm-hmm. So this is one of my own findings I had in Egypt.
Yes, I have a friend. Her name is Patricia Corey. She's also doing a show on BBS Radio, and she has been in Egypt as well. In I don't know which pyramid, but
she was there. She was at this place also. She had also a special experiences in Abydos. Yes.
Yes.
Corey.
Yes. She's a wonderful woman, and I meet her every year in England when I go there to research the crop circles.
Yes.
It's a small world, you know. It's a very small world. But the Syrians are connected to ancient Egypt, but also, I believe, to the Mayans and the Incas and the Tibetans.
Yes, in my opinion, it's the same connection. When I'm very interested in Akhenaton, the pharaoh Akhenaton. He built a complete new city, a complete new world in Egypt in the 18th dynasty. He was the son of Amenhotep III, and his name was actually Amenhotep IV. And he was the pharaoh who left the old religion in Egypt. He actually closed all the temples because there was a lot of dishonesty, and people lost track in they were just doing the priests were abusing the religion just for themselves, and the normal people were not it was not possible for them to have contact with the divine powers and with the divine, and this pharaoh completely break with the past and started a new city and a new religion. This is the religion of the light. It was to be in connection with the light. The light is the sun. For him, it was Atum, Akhenaton. So to he was the first monotheistic, the start of the monotheistic religion. It was the first one, in my opinion, the first one who did this. And he opened up the holy places for all the people, not just for the elite, not just for the priests, but for all the people. And he break totally with the past. It's something comparable with what we are going through now. And this time is the Amarna time, the Akhenaton time. He was an example for the people to be in contact with the light outside yourself and inside yourself, from the contact with the light inside yourself, from your soul, to be in contact with the light outside yourself, and to be in connection with everything. So this pharaoh, if you look at how he is, his statues, then and the statues are in Amharic style, which means they are in the style which shows how it is. It's not direct. Everything in this style is direct. It shows how it is. So if you see him, then you have a very strange person with very wide hips, really very like feminine hips, a small chest and a really big head with long head. And they also found these skulls in Peru, and also some, I believe, in Tibet, but for sure in Peru. And they look the same like him. If you look at all these images which are from him, then they say, well, he has a disease. He must be a Klinefeld. Other doctors say he must be a Klinefeld. But the Klinefeld syndrome, these people are not fertile. And Akhenaton had six daughters with Nefertiti, his wife. They had six daughters, and they were very. This was a really holy, loving couple, man and woman, and they were in contact with the people. So cannot be a Klinefeld or another syndrome. Must be something very strange. And in my opinion, he was not a human being. He was with this kind of buildings, with this kind of how do you say, anatomy, is not human to have a really big skull like that and broad hips like that and legs which are very, very big. It's not human, must be some extraterrestrial from Sirius. And so, in my opinion, he who started this religion with the light to become more in contact with your own soul was brought by us with extraterrestrial who contacted in Egypt. and started the one of the first relations started with life, first monotheistic religion, and we are going to a phase now, to a phase on Earth, which is also bringing us back in connection with the light, the same as Akhenaten did. He was actually like a farmer. He was planting the seeds, but at that time it was not the time to make the total connection, because his reign was only short and completely disappeared afterwards. His son Tutankhamun restored the old power of the priest and bring back the old religion. But at this time, we are now in human history. It feels to me that we can make this big step to a new world.
Beautiful, beautiful. Very interesting that you make this connection with Akhenaten and Nefertiti with the time that we live now. So we can make a new start and create a new world together with the help of the space family.
With those two people, Akhenaten and Nefertiti, they were the two of them. It was important that the two of them were there, and the human, the female energy, which is Nefertiti, and the man energy, male energy, which is Akhenaten, and also in themselves, they were in connection with the female energy and the male energy in themselves. This is what we need to do now, in my opinion. We need to restore our female energy in ourselves, yes, but also in society and in everything. The female energy may come back again.
Indeed. Back to unity and the balance between masculine and feminine energy. Thank you, Richard. We have come to the end of the show. You have shared very valuable information. I want to thank you. Maybe we'll meet one day in one of the meetings taking place before or after the 21st of December. And let's hope that beautiful things will happen. But I have a good feeling about it.
Me too. And thank you very much, Martin, to invite me to the show. And it was really, really very nice to talk with you and to express myself with you. Thank you very much. I hope it was my English was good enough for people to understand.
Perfectly understandable. Wonderful. Thank you, Richard. Okay. And to the listeners, I want to say until next week, I will have Meredith Smith. She is a dream interpreter. And for now, I want to say namaste. Love and light.